Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All that for that? All of that. Everything you did in that ninth inning. For that. Just took it right in the gut. Ah. The old Pyomps. Man, he looked so good. And then Jake Cronenworth took him deep with two strikes and two outs. That was the theme of the night. Homers with two strikes and two outs. It's actually kind of wonky when you sit down and look at it. Every single homer, with the exception of Tatis, was with two strikes and two outs. But Tatis, his homer came with two strikes as well. Four homers for the Padres. And if I just told you that at the start of the game, hey, the Padres are going to get four homers tonight. Whew, how bad are we going to lose by? They got it to the bottom of the ninth inning. The Brewers lose 7-6 in walk-off fashion to the Padres to open up a four-game set over the weekend. I'm Dominic Cotroneo flying solo again tonight. Man, the two-strike, two-out homers. That's the story that I'm going to remember from this game. Especially the backbreakers in the first inning. We'll break down the entire first inning in the next segment. The bad luck with Yelly losing a ball in the lights that had provided an insurance run for the Padres. The Brewers woes again with runners in scoring position. But then Reese coming through his first hit in over a month with runner in scoring position. He's now 1 for his last 18. He had been 0 for his last 17 before that at-bat when he hit the game-tying double in the ninth inning off of Jeremiah Estrada. And then Bryce Wilson, aside from the first inning, pitched great tonight until he gave it up to Fernando Tatis. But even then, like, Tatis had himself a night, 4 for 5. When I look at with this team, with the Brewers, it's like you can see a game like today and you can be frustrated, for sure. You can be like, oh, what's going on? But then at the same time, you can go on the other hand, like, there are tangible things they're not doing well that you know they will do well. Hitting with runners in scoring position is one. Rhys Hoskins being in maybe the coldest stretch of his career right now is two. William Contreras being in the coldest stretch of the last 2 years is one as well. That's something that's kind of been under the radar, and I'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And you forced a bottom of the ninth inning in a game that Bryce Wilson did not get out of the fifth. Jared Koenig threw four outs. Hobie Milner would have not allowed a run if it wasn't for the light ball that, and quite frankly, Andy Fletcher, the home plate umpire. Bradley Blaylock made his big league debut, and he had to work for it in the eighth inning, but he left a man stranded. And at that time, the Brewers were down 6-4. And then off the deck, they faced Jeremiah Estrada, who struck out more than 50% of his batters, who's got a splitter that looks like Devin Williams' airbender changeup, and the Brewers got to him. Just all over the place. You can say with certainty the Brewers are not playing their best right now, and here they are, in every game, making comebacks, facing a tough team. I think the Padres are certainly underperforming. And they're still under 500. But at the end of the day, the Brewers are going to have to turn this ship around with runners in scoring position sooner as opposed to later. Again, this stretch goes back to last Monday to start the series against Toronto. Including tonight, they're now 11 for their last 88. That is a 125 batting average with runners in scoring position. They only have four extra base hits out of 88 at-bats. That's not even including walks, mind you. Okay, four extra base hits, the fourth coming tonight with the double by Rhys Hoskins in the ninth inning. 125 over a 10-game stretch. Call it a 10-game stretch, wrap it up from there, and move on. That's what it's got to be for the Brewers. Tonight was only the third time in the last 10 games that they even had multiple hits with runners in scoring position. The Rhys double in the ninth inning was the second hit of the game, with a runner in scoring position. The other was Bryce Terang's RBI single in the eighth inning. If there's a positive to glean from this game tonight, is that each day leads to the next. And you have seen a lot of the bullpen for the Padres. Jeremiah Estrada will certainly be down tomorrow. Heck, he might be down on Saturday as well. Robert Suarez might need to throw again tomorrow, but he wasn't available tonight. I'm going 3 days in a row. They gave it to Estrada, and he blew it. You saw the key arms like Matsui and De Los Santos and Peralta. They really made Peralta work. He might be down until Sunday. So that's the silver lining from this one tonight. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Late night Brewers come through again. Game one of a four-game series. Let's break down the pivotal first inning. What went right? What went wrong for Bryce Wilson and for the Brewers' offense as they fall 7-6 in walk-off fashion to the Padres right here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 7-6. The Crone Zone once again comes through for the Padres. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, member FDIC. So this segment, let's break down the first inning. The Brewers were going up against a rookie, Adam Mazur. He is here in place because the two key starters for the Padres are injured right now in Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. By the way, the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers beat up on Yu Darvish in a rehab outing tonight in Fort Wayne, but I digress. This game literally started with a double. Bryce Turang leading off the game with a double, setting the tone. So love to see that. Bryce saying, all right, get him hot again and good things happen. Bryce had three hits tonight, mind you. William Contreras, and I'm going to spend another segment talking about William. He grounded out. William tonight went 0-for-4 with a walk. Only one ball left the infield for him. Christian Yelich, with a man on third and the infield in, and two strikes on him, put the ball in play. And Turang, fastest guy on your team, send him home. Contact play is on. Notice how a lot of people were not in my Twitter mentions since the contact play worked there. Arise came home with the play. It was too late. Turang slides in safely, run scores. I was really surprised that the Padres went infield in the top of the first inning. But their call, whatever, especially Turang being the runner. But the Brewers score in the first inning, and they kept adding on. Fielder's choice for Yelich, so he's aboard. Adames singled. He had a good night. Sal Frelick then walks. Bases loaded, one out, Rhys Hoskins coming up. One thing about Mazur, walks are his problem. He came into tonight with more walks and innings pitched in the big leagues, and he added a few more walks to his ledger tonight. But patience is one thing, but at the same time, it's like, oh, you don't not just up there being a statue. You need to swing at pitches. And Rhys is a guy that walks are only going to do so much for a guy like him in a slump. And we know about the Brewers with the bases loaded. They're the worst team in baseball. Literally, that is statistically factual. They are the worst team in baseball with the bases loaded now. That Rhys needed to get something going. And he pulls a ground ball to the left side. Nice play by Machado. Bad throw to second. Great turn by Cronenworth. And they get Rhys, who's not the fleest of foot. That was the first of many gut punches on the night. That made it a 5-4-3 round the horn double play with the bases loaded and one out. And when you could have had a really big inning against a rookie, set the tone to open the scoring. But you know what? It's okay. You got one. Let's not overreact. Let's see what Bryce Wilson can do in the bottom half of the first inning. And what does he do? A leadoff walk. Those are the ones you're like, Again, the taser, in the words of Pat Murphy. But then you allow a single to Fernando Tatis Jr. And I want to say, the top six of this Padres lineup, legit, freaky, scary. Arise, Tatis, Profar, Cronenworth, Machado, Merrill. That is a really darn good top six. And it's going to be their top six for a long time. They're all locked up. So, first two batters were aboard. First and second, nobody out against Bryce, who's not really a ground ball pitcher. And the thing to remember about Bryce, the splits are drastic. Lefties are hitting 300 against him. Righties in the barely above 200, or barely below 200, I should say. A lot of folks were asking, why not use the opener today? Why not use Jared Koenig? For Arraez, it does not matter to have a lefty or a righty. He is going to generally make contact against you. Tatis, you don't want a lefty against him. Profar has more power batting right-handed than he does left-handed. So that's all three of the first three batters of the game that ideally Koenig would be facing that you do not have the advantage on, at least on paper. That's why the Brewers decided to let it roll with Bryce Wilson. And I know there, you know, you have the switch hitter and two lefties, and then you're maybe thinking, oh, Dom, you got the lefties right there. And he said, well, like, yeah, I don't. Profar has been a great story this year for the Padres. And what does Bryce do? He strikes him out on nine pitches. The Brewers really kind of kept Profar in check until that sun ball in the seventh inning. So now a ground ball could end the inning. And that's significant because the next batter was Cronenworth. And how fitting was it that he's the guy who won the game, given he got the gift that even gave them a chance to win in the first inning. Ground ball to second. Should have been a double play. Point blank, simple, no doubt about it. Big leaguers make that a double play. But Bryce Tarang was human for a rare time this year. And you saw him wearing it out there on the field because he bobbled the ball on a ground ball that should have been a double play. They got the out at second, so it's not technically an error, but they weren't able to get the double play. So you're thinking, okay, second and third, two outs, tough task coming up with Machado. Still nobody is in yet. It's still 1-0 Brewers at this point. Bryce gets ahead of Machado 0-2. This is where the game changed. You're thinking, okay, hanging in there. It's going to be all right. Maybe you can get Manny because he's dealing with some hip issues. He's dealing with a lot of injuries right now, and he's playing through it for the Padres. And he leaves a four-seamer catching too much of the outer third. It caught too much plate. For a four-seam fastball to be belt high on 0-2, it better be off the plate. It better be moving your feet in or in the other batter's box. But obviously Bryce made a mistake, and Manny Machado hits an opposite field three-run homer on an 0-2 two-out pitch. Backbreaker. Then Bryce responds by getting ahead of Merrill 0-2, and he throws a down-and-in curveball that, quite frankly, was a good pitch. And Merrill somehow dropped his barrel on it for a solo homer, and they go back-to-back. Merrill is white-hot right now. His sixth homer in his last eight games, something that no rookie under the age of 21 has done since Williams. Pretty good company, that one courtesy of Elias. You blink, and it's 4-1 Padres after a failed double play and back-to-back 0-2 two-out homers. Because then, after 34 pitches in the first inning from Bryce Wilson, he pitched great. And aside from the solo homer to Fernando Tatis, I think all of that work in the first inning started to catch up to him in the fifth, that third time through the order. He faced 23 batters tonight, did Bryce Wilson. 14 of them swung at the first pitch. They had a game plan against Bryce. Now, not all of those 14 swings were put in play, but 61% of the time swinging at the first pitch is a totally concerted game plan. I lost the word there for a second. And the Padres kept him on his toes all night, but yet in the second inning, 13 pitches. In the third inning, 8 pitches. In the fourth inning, 8 pitches. He got the first out on 3 pitches in the fifth on Arraez. He got ahead of him 0-2. Got ahead of Tatis 0-2 before his eventual home run on a 1-2 count. So the theme here is not being able to put away guys. Then Profar flied out on the first pitch. Cronenworth singled on a broken bat flare on the first pitch. Machado swung at the first pitch but fouled it off before eventually singling and chasing Bryce out of this game. All of that work in the first inning that could have been erased, he threw 34 pitches. 17 of them were after the failed double play. You sit here and wonder, and I'm not absolving him, given he was ahead of 0-2 on multiple batters before giving up home runs on them, but I'm just saying, you sit here and wonder, man, if the Brewers defense did what they normally do, maybe it's a completely different game tonight. And furthermore, maybe if the Brewers finally get a hit with the bases loaded, it's 3-0 after the top of the first inning. What ifs? That's baseball, Susan. in the words of John Sterling. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Text here from the Bay Area, the 510. Bummer, this game was still a blast to watch, though a lot of positive things to say. Adamas homer, stellar plays from Ortiz and Black. Terrain gets three knocks. Bauer's a pinch hit. Hoskins in the clutch. One of the standout games of the season. Let's get him tomorrow. Yeah, this was a great game. No doubt about it. It was a fantastic game of baseball. Let's talk some positives. Talk a little bit of the bullpen, too. They were great. Then William a little bit later. Here on your home of the Brewers. Brewers fall 7-6, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I tell you what, watching back the Reese Hoskins double, he almost got it. He almost got it. That would have, man, that would have obviously flipped the scoreboard. And the thing that, you know, is lost, as I really only broke down the first inning there, talking about the late stage of the comeback for the Brewers had a man on second and one out, and Monasterio, who had come in for Black, struck out, and Ortiz, who's not a strikeout guy, struck out three times tonight. He was not himself this evening. I was a little surprised to see Black get the short end of the stick against Wandy Peralta. Wandy Peralta this year has reverse splits. Not for his career. And I know the Brewers live and die by the splits and by the platoons. I just would have liked to have seen Tyler Black. That's all. Let it go, you know, because you didn't know who was behind him. You know you only had righties once you got through Wandy Peralta. So you were going to lose the platoon advantage later in the game. Let him survive that a bit. Maybe he works a walk. See what happens. I don't know. I don't want to sit here and be armchair manager. I don't like doing that. But that was one. Because then, also, I would have liked to have seen Sal Frelick get an AB there against Peralta for the same reason. The reverse splits. Gary went down on three pitches. I don't know. I don't know if that would have made that much of a difference. Because, like I said, I think this game was won and lost in the first inning, when the Brewers weren't able to add on in the top of the first and then giving up four runs at the bottom of the first. But again, the Brewers had a man on second and one out, and they couldn't even make contact. That was huge in the top of the ninth inning. But don't even make contact. It's not like Jeremiah Estrada was up there throwing 90 miles an hour or nothing. No, he was throwing 90-mile-an-hour splitters. That was disgusting. Really disgusting stuff from Jeremiah Estrada. Some positives, though, was Willy Adames. Willy reached base three times, including a two-run homer to dead center field with two outs and two strikes. You know how hard it is to go yard in a night game in San Diego to dead center field? Really hard. We look at a thing called park factors where we can just take all the data into play where it's an observed effect of each stat in a ballpark. So like homers, on-base percentage, you get more strikeouts, and it's all a park-specific number. You look at each batter, each pitcher, righties, lefties, and you can compare the frequency of any stat. I'm reading this straight from StatCast. Compare to the performance of these players in other ballparks. For example, 2018 to 2020, the Great American Ballpark gave up a park factor of 135 for home runs. It doesn't mean the Reds hit 35% more homers at home. It meant that for batters and pitchers who played at both Great American Ballpark and elsewhere, 35% more home runs were hit at Great American Ballpark. So what does that mean for San Diego? It is a league average park for home runs, a 102. Again, 100 is league average. But their overall park factor of the regular ballparks, it is 28th. Only the Mets and the Mariners are harder parks to hit in baseball over the last 3 years. So it is hard to hit a ball out to dead center field for Willy Adames. That was super impressive from him. He's starting to heat back up. I'm a little concerned about Contreras, though. We'll talk about him coming up next. But other positives from this one. A lot of walks, once again. That's part of the Brewers' game plan, is that they continue to get pressure. I know this is getting old with the runners in scoring position, but I'm encouraged by the fact that they continue to get guys aboard. It's not like they're going 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 1 for 5 with runners in scoring position. It maybe makes it more frustrating that they're going 2 for 11 and they're leaving 11 guys on base. But they drew 8 more walks tonight. I like what I'm seeing from the offense getting on base, creating havoc. They didn't steal a base tonight, though. That's something worth noting, too. The Padres did a good job of holding runners. Mentioned Terang having three hits tonight, including an RBI and a run scored. Rhys Hoskins breaking his slump. The only starter that did not reach base was Blake Perkins. I beg your pardon. He drew a walk there in that eighth inning. Every starter reached base for the Brewers tonight. So that's certainly a positive. Jared Koenig was great again. That's a positive. Four up, four down. He was touching 98 tonight against San Diego. He was a farmhand for them briefly. Hobie Milner pitched fine, aside from the sun ball or the light ball double that Yelly got lost. I don't want to just sit here and say it was all because of the strike zone. There were strike zones that were bad, straight up bad. And Andy Fletcher had a bad night. But Andy Fletcher was not the reason the Brewers lost this game. He just wasn't. Did he stink tonight? Yes. He wasn't the reason the Brewers lost, so let's not go there this evening. Let's talk about William. We got to talk about William, have a real conversation about William. That's coming up next, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers lose in walk-off fashion 7-6 to the Padres. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, and as an authorized Generac dealer, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a whole home generator. You can visit Sider.com today. That's Seider.com. Let's have the William conversation. This is not including tonight the numbers I'm going to read, but there are a few things that I am worrying about with William right now. Number one is the ground ball rate. The ground ball rate is going up. His rate by month, 54% in April, 48% in May, so it went down by 6 points. But now it is up to 65% before tonight. So that's 12 points higher than it was in April. That means if you give him 10, if he puts 10 balls in play, six of them are ground balls. That's alarming. When it comes to hard hit rate, it has taken a slight downturn, more than slight, 12 points down from May to June, 56% to 44%. And as I'm doing this live on the radio, I'm tapping around his Baseball Savant page right now. I'm going to go ahead and try and see if I can see his bat speed by month to see if he's slowing down there. Because this is one of the things that we were afraid of. And we can all be admirable about a guy playing every day. And I think I've been pretty consistent in saying it's not sustainable. You can't have your primary catcher catch every single day. And I know they wanted that record, which is cool to say, but now you're, you know, the credit card is coming due. All that interest is starting to stack up now. And you're looking at it, man, it's just, can it be just, can it be too much? Like, I know the Brewers are asking a lot out of him, and they have got it, quite frankly. He has been super impressive. But as I look at this month by month for William Contreras, his average bat speed, and pulling it up now, it was 74 in April, 76 in May, it's 75 here in June, so that's not really a ton. Swing length is all the same, so nothing popped up there. But again, the ground ball rate is what is alarming me. It's not like he's suddenly swinging, missing a lot more. He's just simply hitting more ground balls. And getting clocked in the head the other day certainly isn't going to help taking a few days off. But I also said this the other night. He hit a speed bump about this time last season, too. And then he broke his way out of it and hit his way out of it, quite frankly, and got things going. He's still a super valuable player. He is still, you know, just a hot two-week stretch away from everyone saying, okay, he's going to be fine. But as I'm pulling up his career splits, in June for his career, it is the worst month of his career. His OPS for his career in June is 650. His batting average is 232. You know what it is in July? 309 and 867. Last season in June, he hit 238. Right now, he's hitting 234. Last season in July, he was only hitting he hit 365 in July with a 955 OPS. He had 13 extra base hits in July. Whereas in June last year, he only had 7. So maybe it's just sort of a hamster wheel sort of situation, and he'll get back on track here soon. But that's something I'm really monitoring for the Brewers. Him going 0-for-4 in the 2 spot with just a walk. And the walk was in a big moment, mind you. I don't mind the walk, but they need him to be doing damage. And not getting it from him is part of the reason why the Brewers have been struggling with runners in scoring position. Let's hear from the manager coming up next, Pat Murphy. The Brewers lose a tough one, but there were some stuff to highlight. And as a baseball junkie like he is, I'm sure he found something to enjoy out of this one. 7-6 and walk-off loss to the Padres. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
The Crone Zone. I don't want to be in it. The Padres, by the way, are the first team, or have tied a Major League record, to have 3 consecutive home walk-off homers, right? So their last 2 games before their road trip against the A's were walk-off homers. Kyle Higashioka and Jackson Merrill. Tonight, Jake Cronenworth. Crazy. What a stat. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after tonight's loss.
Yeah, no question. It was back and forth. I mean, a lot happened in this game, but, you know, they turned a big double play there at a big time, and the ball down, great play. Ball down third, it was it. You know, we lost the ball in the lights that you can't do anything about. That was a run. We didn't turn a double play when we normally do, but... you can look back at that. I mean, we walked the leadoff hitter to open the game, 4 pitches that scored. We gave up 2 0-2 home runs. Very unusual, back-to-back. I've never seen that in 40-plus years of baseball. 0-2 count, 2 homers, back-to-back. But we did a lot of great things that, you know, came up clutch there at the clutch time, Hoskins and... So many great at bats there at the end to put us in that position. Bowers off the bench, big hit, and Hoskins' ball almost goes out. So yeah, it was a good battle. You know, it's tough when you don't come out on top, but I'm proud of our guys to put ourselves in a position. You know, after that first inning, and put ourselves in a position to hang in there, and.
He's really been scuffling in June. Was it nice to see him be able to come through in that situation?
Say that again.
He's really been scuffling in June. I know he drove in the run yesterday, too.
You know, he's not swinging it the way he wants to, but I think if you evaluate, I mean, he's, you know, sacrifice fly and an RBI, or a sacrifice fly and a sharp single yesterday up the middle, and the day before that he had a base hit to left and a walk. So, you know, we can be really critical of that. You say really scuffling. He's not swinging the bat the way he's capable, but, you know, again, there were some line drives caught. There was some, you know, I'm not making excuses for him. He'd be the first to tell you he's not happy how he's swinging it, but at the same time, you know, he has done some good things, like last night. But it's a big one tonight, big one.
Do you think that might go out off the bat, or
I didn't know. I thought, I've been in this park a lot, so I know sometimes the ball flies, sometimes it doesn't, but I know you got to hit it at night. You got to hit it, and I thought, you know, I thought it was, I thought it had a chance. Hit off the wall.
It looks like it kind of went over his head. I thought it hit his glove, but it just landed over his glove and kind of glanced off the wall.
How tough is that sequence to Cronenworth, too? You know, like, the longer he gets into the at-bat and...
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's a really good big-game player, and you know, I thought Joel was throwing the ball really well, and, you know, that he put a good swing on a strike. You know, he put a good, it had to be a strike to not put the guy on, and put a good swing on it. And, yeah, credit goes to him.
How did you see Billy settle in after that long first inning?
Yeah, no, I wasn't super pleased with how he threw the ball, but he did get us some outs, you know, and you know, again, the leadoff walk and 202 home runs put us really behind the eight ball. But to his credit, he came back and battled and gave us all he could. Got through, you know, got 15 outs for us, and but again, 5 runs and 15 outs is not what we're looking for here. 3 home runs.
That scoreless inning by Blaylock turned out to be pretty big. Kept you, you know, kept it.
Really happy for that young man. Very, very happy for that young man. Very happy for him. Big situation for him. Yeah.
Yeah, huge. It turned out to matter. Highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
First of a 4-game set with the San Diego Padres from Petco Park. Bryce Wilson getting the start for the Crew against rookie Adam Mazur. And the Brewers got off to a quick start against the rookie. A leadoff double from Terran, got to third on a ground out, and Yelich was at the plate.
Here it is. And a chopper towards first. That is a fair ball. They're coming home. Terran slides. He's safe. And Yelich is safe at first base. Great jump on that chopper up the first baseline by Bryce Terang, and he beat the play at home.
Jeff Levering on the call. Brewers open up the scoring in the first inning for the third straight game. In fact, they would load the bases later in the first, but end up grounding into a double play off of his Hoskins bat. In the bottom of the first, it was the worst-case scenario. They failed to turn an inning-ending double play from Bryce Terang. It turned out to be a fielder's choice. Then back-to-back, 0-2 count home runs. A 3-run shot from Machado and a solo from Jackson Merrill, and it was 4-1 Padres. You fast forward, though, to the top of the fifth inning. Bryce Wilson had kept the Brewers in this game. The Brewers getting a 2-out rally of their own. A single from Yelich, followed up by Willie Adames.
And the pitch. And a fly ball to deep center. Back is Merrill. Still back. It's gone. Straightaway center field for Willie Adames, his 13th home run. And just like that, it's a 1-run game.
Finally felt like the Brewers were in it there, down 4-3, but then in the bottom of the fifth inning, they failed to get the shutdown frame once again, as Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a 440-foot no-doubt blast to left, so it restored a 2-run lead for the Padres. They lead 6-4. The Brewers had an opportunity in the seventh. They left the bases loaded. They had an opportunity in the eighth after a back-to-back 2-out walks, and Bryce Terang trying to cash in.
1-1, good speed on the bases. The pitch, line drive, left field, and down. Peralta stops it. Ortiz is trying to score. Goes all the way through. It's not in time. It's an RBI single for Bryce Terang.
And then finally, in the ninth inning, one more opportunity against Jeremiah Estrada. And it all began with a leadoff walk. Adames would strike out for the first out. Jake Bowers would pull a pinch hit single. That put runners on first and second. Then a wild pitch would score Christian Yelich. So now the tying run is on second base with one out and the most scuffling hitter on the team, Hoskins, at the plate.
2-2 on Hoskins. Estrada checks his runner and throws. Line drive! Deep left! It is up! It is off the wall! Bowers scores! Hoskins into second with an RBI double to tie the game. His first hit with a man in scoring position since May 11th. And Hoskins delivers on a pitch that was shoulder high.
That was huge from Reese. It was a Jeff Levering highlight show tonight, but in the ninth, it would be a walk-off homer from Jake Cronenworth off of Yoel Piamps, and the Brewers fall 7-6. We'll say goodnight after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I've got 30 seconds left here in the program. Get ready to say goodnight. Same time, same place tomorrow. Hopefully a quicker and better result as well. Game starts at 8:40. Our coverage will begin at 8:05 Central Time right here on WTMJ. And I've got you for post-game once again tomorrow. Saturday is an odd time, 5 o'clock air, 6:15 first pitch. Sunday, 2 o'clock air, 3:10 first pitch. My thanks to Matt Yazel, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.